The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
To learn who rules over you, simply find out who you are not allowed to criticize. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host. And on today's instalment of I'm Talking to You, originally recorded and broadcast on Wednesday, August the 12th, 2026, at achshow.com, I will be presenting a show entitled Mark Knopfler's 77th Birthday. So happy birthday, Mark, and thank you for all the great music. And the time is 7:46 a.m. over here in London, England, and it is nice to be talking to you again. Okay, so here's what I've got to moan about since last week's show. Let's go over to the Brave browser, just opening that up now. Right, the first one, I've been reporting on how the mainstream media keep talking about conspiracy theories. I think the last one was, if you're a conspiracy theorist, then you risk a relationship breakup. You know, your boyfriend or girlfriend will leave you because you're such a sad person. Well, they're now talking about flat earth, which they did before. Again, something like flat earth, for me, it doesn't matter to me whether it's flat, round, what have you. I'm more concerned on things like who's allowed to print money out of nothing and charge me interest on it. That kind of impacts my life a lot more than whether the earth is flat or round. I was never interested in geography, or because they were talking about stuff like rock erosion, things like that, when I was in geography class. Surely it would make more sense, if it's geography, to teach people where the different countries are in the world, different capital cities, all these different things, what's grown in those different places. That'd be a lot more interesting, a lot more useful, wouldn't it? But whatever reason they hijacked the curriculum there, maybe they were trying to push some sort of climate change thing when I was younger. I don't really remember it. I wasn't paying attention. It was so boring. But the mainstream media are now linking the example of conspiracy theory, because they'll never talk about things like the banking system because they don't want you to know how that works, you see. So they talk about things like flat earth. But something else that they popped up with is, if you believe that NASA faked the moon landings. And I found that rather interesting, because I've been talking about the Stanley Kubrick, The Shining, because it wasn't, although it was supposed to be based on Stephen King's book, The Shining. One only needs to read the book and watch the film, and you're looking at two completely different things. But essentially, I've talked about how the Stanley Kubrick film, The Shining, gave all these references to the Apollo 11 moon landings, and now I read in the mainstream media that that's an example of conspiracy theory. Again, it's one that I find interesting, but I find it a lot more interesting than when the earth is flat or round. I just find that a fascinating story. It doesn't impact me today whether they went to the moon or they didn't go to the moon. It makes no odds to me. But we will get into things later that do make odds, not just to me, but to all of us. So they're very, very concerned in the mainstream media that there are such things as conspiracy theories. They thought that they'd shut them all down. And here's an example of how they think that they can shut them down. You see, the way journalism used to work is you get a story, and then you get one person giving one side of the story and another person giving the other side of the story, and the newspaper reports it. And occasionally, because we were told that some newspapers, like, say, the Daily Mail is supposed to be more on the right and the Guardian is supposed to be more on the left, so they would write it with that sort of slant. But the idea was you'd always have both people speaking, so you've got the balance there. But during COVID, they decided that that wasn't such a good idea, and they only parroted the party line, which I think did the mainstream media irreparable damage that they're still trying to recover from, but they just don't have the nous to do it. So here's an article. It came out, I saw it yesterday in the Daily Mail. The headline is Gold Standard Vaccines. Trump orders overhaul of childhood vaccines amid concerns over debunked link between MMR shot and autism. So that debunked link line is in the sub headline there, so they're really keen to tell you that this is all debunked. And they then have a quote in the article, so this is just a few paragraphs down. On Monday, Trump said, they're really good with their grammar, Daily Mail. It must be this AI is really working out for them. On Monday, Trump said Monday, here's the quote, today there could be a possibility the MMR is quite lethal, and separately it looks like they are not at all lethal but very effective. For example, at 1 year you should have 5 separate visits for vaccines rather than getting them all in the same day. And I saw this early on, and I've seen proof of it where they have a vaccination thing. It looks like the size of a bottle of soda poured into a little child's body, and bad things happen in many cases. Right, so that's his quote. This is the next paragraph in this Daily Mail article. There is no evidence that the combined MMR vaccine is lethal. Serious side effects are extremely rare, and the risks of the vaccine are vastly outweighed by the risks of the diseases it prevents. I mean, that's not journalism to me. That's some sort of indoctrination. Why are they so desperate? Why are they so desperate? I mean, if you don't want to have a vaccine, they have all these different these elites talking about depopulation. So you'd think that they want to get rid of us, not give us vaccines to keep us well, wouldn't you? Or maybe we can square that circle. Let's have a little listen to this quickly. This is a clip from the only Alex Jones show that I actually keep. And it went out on April the 3rd of 2021. It was called Emergency Saturday Broadcast, World Shocked by SPARS 2025 to 2028 Document. And let's hope I've got it lined up. Yeah, this is at the zero. So I think this is about a minute and a half. Just have a listen to this.
And since you mentioned that, let's go ahead and play this clip. This is CNN medical analyst says it's easier to get people vaccinated when they don't have their freedom. She says, let's keep the lockdown going until they all submit and take the vaccines.
But I think that there are many more people, millions of people, who for whatever reason have concerns about the vaccine, who just don't know what's in it for them. And we need to make it clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because otherwise, if everything is reopened, then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Because otherwise, people are going to go out and enjoy these freedoms anyway. And I fear a situation of coming into the fall where we never reach herd immunity. And then we get hit by the next surge of COVID-19 in the fall, something that we could have prevented if we just got people vaccinated now.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. You just saw CNN analysts saying we're basically prisoners under a medical tyranny that has liability protection, that they admit you take this, you're not even protected from these COVID variants because you can't be protected from the common cold.
Okay, so what was it she said? Vaccines, the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And what's the carrot for people to get the vaccine? Again, why are they so desperate for people to have these vaccines? It doesn't compute with what the elites promote with their depopulation that the likes of Bill Gates talk about, does it? So I'm very sceptical. And something else that came to mind, I looked up my last Limeish show that I did with Maleficus Scott back on June the 5th, came back for a one-off show, Take the Atmosphere Challenge, which was the Limeys, episode 201. And what I did was I went back, because what we used to do, we started off, somebody emailed in a link to this government page, which was updated every couple of weeks with, well, I'll read the link, because I had a section on the Limeys show called Vaccine Links. So here it says, click here for the British government's page, coronavirus brackets COVID-19 vaccine adverse reactions that used to include five analysis prints, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Novavax and brand unspecified, which claimed an aggregate total that 2,362 people had died and 474,018 people had been injured after taking the vaccine based upon MHRA, which is the UK's Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency data, last released by the British government in these five analysis prints on December the 1st, 2022. So we were looking at these for a good year or two, and suddenly they took them down and replaced them with something that didn't give you the same information. And then below that, click here for the Daily Mail article, exclusive revealed, just 75 Brits have been killed by COVID vaccines as experts hail data as proof jabs are incredibly safe and not behind surging excess deaths. As this article cites MHRA data referenced in the British government's page above, we at the Limeys are delighted that 2,287 people in the UK have been brought back from the dead. And we hope on that basis the 474,018 people who reported having been injured after taking the vaccine are healed by the same unknown British entity that can somehow bring over 2,000 people back from the dead. So let me click on that and see if that article still exists on the Daily Mail. What they have a habit of doing is putting articles out, more and more of their articles are behind their Mail Plus paywall now. But what I've noticed is you might find one that's you can look at one day, and then a couple of days later it's behind their Mail Plus paywall. So they're up to all sorts of things over there. But yeah, the headline that you want to look at is exclusive revealed, just 75 Brits have been killed by COVID vaccines as experts hail data, as proof jabs are incredibly safe and not behind surging excess deaths. So let's make it clear, they're talking about COVID vaccines here. The Trump article is about the vaccine, the childhood vaccines, so the MMR. But bear in mind what they just said of just 75 Brits. Well, you know, how many people go into the lottery and what's the chances of winning the lottery? You know, 75 Brits don't win the lottery, you know what I mean, every week or what have you. You see what I'm getting at? If you don't, the point is if you don't want to take the risk, you shouldn't have to take the risk. You shouldn't be shamed into taking the risk. And again, why, something Dr. Lorraine Day used to say, the late great Dr. Lorraine Day, because we talked about smoking, as you know, I used to smoke. And I said to her, why are they so anti-smoking? Because they seem to promote every other lifestyle choice that's bad for you. But they come after you for that. They want to pump you full of all these, because she was very much against aspartame, the dangers of that. They have taxes in this country to encourage you to drink aspartame drinks rather than drinks with normal sugar in, when there's all this research that's come out that says that that's bad for you. So how come they do that? That doesn't compute with, oh, we want to save you with our vaccines, does it? Unless, of course, they're meant to be bad for you too. But again, go back to the Daily Mail, 75 Brits died, to this line from yesterday's article. There is no evidence that the combined MMR vaccine is lethal. Serious side effects are extremely rare, and the risks of the vaccine are vastly outweighed by the risks of the diseases it prevents. Well, I wonder if those 75 people, or in fact, let's go back to the MHRA figures, the government's own figures, that said, up to when they last published them, that 2,362 people had died and 474,018 people had been injured after taking the vaccine. And that was on their own, their MHRA data, which is the UK's equivalent of the US's CDC. And I believe that people were reporting figures in their countries, official figures. Excuse me. And it's just, doesn't make sense. And I really think that this is something that they're going to be pushing again. My belief is that they thought the COVID, the virus itself, was going to kill a lot more people than it did. It didn't, but they had a little backup with the vaccine that they thought was going to do terrible damage, and it didn't do what they thought it was going to do. So yes, I believe that they deliberately set out to harm people on a worldwide basis, and I'll give you some evidence for that. There is another website that I used to link to in the post for the Limey show. Click here for proof that the British government expected a high volume of adverse reactions to the COVID-19 vaccine. Scroll down to point 214 on this European Union website. And then below that, we've got click here for the British government's page, vaccine damage payment. In fact, one of the things probably best if I do is I'll copy and paste these links into the post for today's show at achshow.com so you can have a look at them. But I'm going to just scroll down to this EU tenders electronic daily, European Union, an official website of the European Union, it says at the top. And then we scroll down to this two as in two eyes, .1.4, short description. The MHRA urgently seeks an artificial intelligence AI software tool to process the expected high volume of COVID-19 vaccine adverse drug reaction and ensure that no details from the adverse drug reactions text are missed. So they're expecting it to harm people, yet still they ran this campaign in the media of demonizing anyone who didn't want to take it. What does that tell you? Okay, so let's move on to what's the next article that I've got. Mentioned the other week, you learn a lot by looking at the mainstream media, not from what they tell you in the sense of they try and mold your mind into certain things, but what they start coming out with. Like last week, we kept hearing these stories of AI going rogue, and I said, could it be that they've got a plan that they're gonna do a banking crash or something? And it was, weren't our fault. No, you see, the AI went rogue, and you know it was going to go rogue because we used the mainstream media to tell you that all these different AIs have gone rogue. Well, I wasn't the only person to come to this conclusion. NexusNewsFeed.com, which is a great website out of Australia that I look at every day, they ran a headline last week. Have I got the date of the article here? It was originally in off-guardian.org on August the 5th, 2026. It's by Kit Knightley. The headline is, Are You Ready for the Rogue AI PSYOP? So that was a week ago today, wasn't it? 5th of August. And the last sort of, some of the last lines in the article says this. My soft prediction is that before the end of the year, there will be a rogue AI false flag which allegedly causes either loss of life or some massive financial losses. I think financial would be the way to go because they're always looking for a reason to start a recession or banking crisis, and one they can blame on a third party is too good an opportunity to miss. Well, I tend to agree. And again, I came to this conclusion, I didn't have any ideas on this before, but when I suddenly saw the mainstream media rolling out article after article about AI going rogue, I smelt a rat. And that, I'm not the only one who did. So that's what the mainstream media have done to themselves. Their continual lying and obfuscation, not reporting. What was it that, was it one of the Rockefellers said at a Bilderberg meeting, we wouldn't have been able to do what we were doing if we hadn't had your compliance in not reporting on us. Something like that. I used the quote in my first book. But yeah, they've been compliant with these people. When did Bilderberg start? 1950, late 50s, I think. Bilderberg meeting of all these top people around the world, politicians and industrialists, chairmen, the big companies, all that sort of thing. And the mainstream media decided not to tell anyone about it. So how long have they all been in bed together? Then I hear this. Jeremy Clarkson has come out and said that his harvest at Diddley Squat Farm is, well, F star, 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 star. Now, again, I feel this guy was world famous for his Top Gear show. I couldn't understand because in the UK, Top Gear was a BBC Two programme. I never realised it was a big deal. But it turned out that it was sold worldwide and it was very popular. A lot more people watched it around the world, I think, than watched it in the UK. But consequently, he's a very famous person. And only a few years ago, he got involved in a new project, which was this Diddley Squat Farm that they're making a television series on too. Excuse me. So they are suddenly here. And of course, we know we've got a drought, things like that. But I find it very convenient that this guy who's world famous is now running a show on a farm that he owns. And he's getting everyone ready with the harvest has gone. So we're going to see food shortages later in the year that aren't we're being prepped for. I'm not denying that he's got a drought where he is. I completely believe it. But again, the mainstream media are very selective on what they do and do not report on. They don't have to report this story. So is this another prepping story to get people ready that, well, if there are food shortages later in the year, well, we warned you, didn't we? We warned you. But it'd be interesting to hear again if it's... I know that droughts are going on in Europe. I know they're going on in America. But are they going on in China? Or are they still able to manage their weather? So, there you go. Let's move on to... Talked about these compulsory purchase orders here in the UK. About a train line that they were going to be building and then they cancelled. Well, there was a road scheme that affected people in a place called Queensway in Derby. And what happened was they were going to widen a certain road, and National Highways, which is the agency responsible for roads, they spent more than £6 million of taxpayer money to buy 15 large detached properties, and they never expanded the road. And there are people who, these people didn't want to leave. I think there's one person here, John Jerram, who's 88, and his wife Dorothy, 85. They've been in the home for 18 years, so they're obviously planning to die there, you know, not wishing to be too fine a point on it. But if they're that age, I doubt that they were going to suddenly look to move then. But they didn't have a choice. It was a few years before. They had to sell their home of 18 years, okay, in 2020. But Mr. Jerram said, "It breaks my heart every time I go past. We had a beautiful garden and a greenhouse and everything." So they built the house how they wanted it. Some idiot from the government comes along and says, "We want to do a road widening project and we are allowed to purchase your house. It's compulsory. You can't get out of it." They buy the house. They never build the road. It's still stuck there. No accountability. Let's move on to... A Christian driver, or rather a driver who's got Jesus Loves You stickers on his car, has been told by his insurance company that he is not insured unless he removes the stickers. And so there's all sorts of... He's spoken to the Christian Legal Centre, things like that. The insurance company has not given him a reason as to why they've said that to him. But I wonder, if he had stickers promoting a different religion, or maybe even, I've seen certain vehicles going around with emblems from certain countries on them. I wonder if, how do they get away with it? How do they get insured, do you think? Is it just Christian stickers that they're coming after? I wonder. And then we move on to Central London. I used to go out drinking there many, many years ago. Wouldn't appeal to me now. You know, some of the stuff I used to do when I was younger, going out and clubbing, and then, you know, I'd be scared to death to do it now. Sort of, are you going to get back? Are you going to leave the toilet on the bus or something like that? The things that you do when you're younger that you wouldn't do now. Well, I've got a friend of mine that we talked about this a while ago, how we felt sorry for young people today, because when we were younger, we had our choice of different nightclubs to go out. And he said to me, even if you didn't end up meeting a girl that night or something like that, it was still a good laugh, it was a good night out. But now, I mean, there's very few nightclubs even around, and people are just doing everything online. You go into pubs, and I'm 53 and I'm one of the younger ones. It's just, people are missing out on what I grew up with, which was this, you know, going into a big venue. And yeah, there was annoying things about having to wait at the bar and stuff like that, but it was fun. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it. And what's happened here is the London Council, because London's made up of different boroughs, and so it's not just one. I mean, you've obviously got London Mayor, stuff like that, but different sections of London can set up their own procedures, shall we say. And one London Council responsible for Soho and the West End is they want to stop people standing in pubs and bars. Everything's going to be sat, everyone's going to be sat at tables. So I remember I had a friend, and now a few girls stood around. We were out together. One of them was, one of my friends likes your friend type of thing, came over to me. I managed to get them together. They got married. They're still together now, got a couple of kids. I mean, if you all sat at tables and you have to walk over to different tables, it's not quite the same, is it? So, I mean, if I go to a pub now, first thing I look is for where to sit down. When I was younger, I never dreamt of sitting down somewhere. If I was with people who wanted to sit down, I'm like, I want to be sat down here. What am I missing? I want to be stood up amongst what everything's going on. So, yeah, the London Council responsible for Soho and the West End want to stop people standing in pubs and bars. Real killjoys out there, aren't there? And then we have a drink driver. They hit, basically they're stopped by the police. The police officer tells them to get out of the car. They become belligerent. And the police officer tries to get the keys out the car so they can't drive off. But instead they drive off with him trying to get the keys out the car. So he's clinging to the car. He's dragged down the road. He's crippled as a result. And I guess you're wondering how many years this person got in prison. Well, I'll give you the answer. Nil. The person also who did this was a diversity rep. That was her job. And, yeah, she was drink driving. Not only refused to stop. She stopped and then drove away with a police officer hanging on to the vehicle, who's now crippled, presumably can't work. And this person didn't get any jail time at all. But at the same time, you see, it's important. They need to keep that cell for people who say things that the powers that should not be don't like. They can't have, you know, this person here, this police officer, PC Ward, was a former RAF medic who served multiple tours in Afghanistan. Well, they don't need Afghanistan anymore. They needed Afghanistan because they needed the poppy fields to get people hooked on heroin. But now they can make it all synthetically, which is why they were quite happy to give it back to the Taliban. We don't need to waste our money on that anymore. We can make it ourselves. So they don't care about this guy or what this person went through or punishing the person responsible. They're more keen on leaving cells vacant for people that say things that the real people in power do not like. Let's move on to... I am not a Luddite, but I look at the past, and I think the only thing that's actually got better from being younger is the ability to find information just on a computer, just type something in and look it up. I mean, when I was growing up, you'd have to go on something like a microfiche on a, you know, you'd have to pick out certain, you go after newspaper, trying to find information, stuff like that. So the internet really has been some leap forward, but apart from that, everything else seems to have gone downhill. And someone was moving, this is from BBC News, and they're moving house and they went through packing stuff up and they found a Mars bar from 1991, and it's over 56% bigger than the Mars bar you buy today. So that just goes to show how shrinkflation goes over the years. It is 62.5 grams back in 1991, and now it's 40 grams. And how many other things have been dropped down? And it's just our lives. It's like inflation as well. It just goes the other way. They shrink the size of the product so that if it was, they just kept putting them up in price, people might react. So it's just another underhanded tactic of trying to disguise the fact that they're putting things up by giving you less product for your money. It's a wonderful world. I mean, this is called progress, isn't it? You know, Peter Hammond made the point that when you look at historical figures, and today you try and come out and say people today know more than them, it's very rarely true. I think people back then were a lot more, the people you remember today from back then had a lot more knowledge than famous people of today. And a bit like that saying, those who trade liberty for security deserve neither. Well, those who trade technology for knowledge equally. And what I mean by that is, rather than go and learn history and read books and things like that, if you just go on, and I do this, I go on to AI because I want to give you the stock answer that you're going to get off of Google. That's the only, I don't have any, I just get the AI result from Google. But it's interesting how they have very selective history. There are certain things that they will not talk about, or if they do, they will give you the mainstream line, because AI, it has to be programmed. And whoever programmed it isn't going to want you to know uncomfortable parts of history that they've done their best to distort. And so AI does exactly the same thing. And this is just another attempt to whitewash history, so that in the end, if people want to look something up, they'll just type it in and they'll get the answer that has been agreed by the powers that should not be as the answer to give, until the real history is completely forgotten. And what was it? I think it was, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. Some communist came out with that. It's not who votes, it's who counts the votes. Was that Lenin or Stalin? One of them. So again, it's something that's gone on over and over in time. And it'll just continue. Because people, they see these things come along and they think, oh, this is great. And they, I don't need to learn anything. It'll get to a stage. We've already given up, joined up writing, you know. I think people struggle to even print right these days because they're always tapping stuff into their phones. Why did that happen? Finally, we've got the eclipse tonight here in the UK. And I think I remember the last eclipse in 1999. I was working at a particular company at the time and they let you go out. So I think it was around lunchtime. And I went out and it was just like a cloudy day. It was just absolutely nothing. And to be quite honest, I thought it was last night. And I thought I'd missed it last night. That's how interested I was to see it. And now that I know it's tonight, I might actually... It says here, in the UK, more than 90% of the sun, this is a BBC article, will be obscured by the moon at the peak, which will fall between 6:58 and 7:15 here in the UK, depending on where you are in the country. So you might want to go out at about 5 to 7 and then just hang around until you get bored. But you've got to be careful. You don't look into the sun directly. People have got special eclipse glasses, stuff like that. So do be careful. Don't check these things out too closely. Okay, is that everything that I've got to moan about? I think that is. Okay, so let's go over to the something for you to listen to section of the show, in which I tell you about the song you can listen to via the YouTube link in the post for this show, which you can find at achshow.com. Today's song is Dire Straits' Sultans of Swing from their Live in 85 tour. I first heard this version when it was broadcast as part of a full Dire Straits concert on Channel 4 shortly after it was recorded, and ever since I would have to say it is my favourite song. It was never commercially released, although I have a copy of the Westwood One Superstar Concert Series that was a promotional box set of the concert, which was sent to American radio stations for broadcast. However, the sound quality on the YouTube link is just as good, and you get to see the video as well. Recently, they released a 40th anniversary edition of Brothers in Arms, only last year. And on that, because that was the 1985 album from which the 1985 Live in 85 tour stemmed, Oh, was it 1984? Well, it doesn't matter. That's the Live in 85 tour was designed to promote that album. And they had in the box set, they made a box set of it, special edition, with a Live in 85 concert. I thought, great, they finally released it. And instead it was one from the Australian part of their tour, which I believe wasn't till 86. And Songs of Swings on it, and it's nowhere near as good as this version, which I believe was performed at Wembley. So even the same song on the same tour can be very different on different nights, and sadly they didn't release this one. I don't know why, because obviously it was broadcast by Channel 4, so it was all professionally recorded. I don't know why they couldn't just do that. Very disappointing. So I doubt it'll ever see the light of day now. Okay, so today's film review is of the 1996 HBO film that I mentioned last week, entitled Gotti, which Michael Franzese ranks as one of the top three mafia films ever made. And if you were to regard the Godfather films as one film, I would agree with him. For me, number one would be Goodfellas, number two would be the Godfather trilogy, and number three would be Gotti. And if you are still disappointed by the Godfather Part 3, trust me, go back and have another look at it, as it has aged well, and for me, forms a fitting finale to the trilogy. Anyway, back to the 1996 HBO film Gotti. It is a biopic of the last major mafia boss, John Gotti, so as you would expect, it contains violence and profanity. It also contains many actors who would go on to have prominent roles in The Sopranos, and its lead actor, Armand Assante, who played John Gotti, won an Emmy Award for Best Actor for his performance. And best of all, you can watch it for free on YouTube, the link to which you will find in the post for this show at acashow.com. And again, I think I saw somewhere most famous mafia figures in history. And Gotti's up there with Al Capone as like the top two most known names, because he got all that publicity in the 80s. So, very famous figure, and this certainly is a very good film about him. But as I say, if you don't like profanity, you don't like violence, don't watch it, because you're not going to want to see this. But it's a Sopranos type of thing. And for people that are interested in The Sopranos, you really have to see this, because so many actors pop up in there. Vincent Pastore, Tony Sirico, Dominic Chianese, and there's probably others that I've forgotten about that are in it, because I haven't seen it recently. I was going to try and get round to watching it, but I didn't get the chance in the last week. Okay, so let's see what's going on right now in the mainstream media. Go back over to... Let's start off with APnews.com, Associated Press. What's the main headline? Trump says Secret Service and the military wanted him off Air Force One in Turkey due to threat. There's since been footage of him being smuggled off in a catering truck. I kind of thought about that. Presumably there were other people still on the plane. Wouldn't you be a bit worried if you had heard that there was a threat to Air Force One because Trump was on it, that they'd smuggled him off? Because surely the people the threat came from would think he was still on there. So if you were on the plane, then you would be in danger. That's just something that crossed my mind. Am I oversimplifying things here? Let's go over to BBC News. Let's have a look at their top 10 most read stories at this present time. Scroll down. Number 10, early release scheme risks more serious crimes, probation chief warns. This is the early release scheme for many violent criminals, so they can make room for the people who say things that they don't like. Number 9, UK prosecutors argue Tate brothers a flight risk ahead of bail hearing. Number 8, children as young as 9 hurt in growing number of e-scooter crashes. Talked about that a lot over here. Again, you hear on this show noisy vehicles going past on the road. That's an offence. It's in the highway code. You're not to have things going above a certain decibel range. But people adjust, particularly motorcycles, to make as much noise as possible. This is, the sort of respect they've got for others, that people have to hear deafening, unpleasant noise from their vehicle. And I remember when I was younger, I had my car stereo on It was like a say show. It wasn't particularly loud. And the police pulled me over, had my windows down, to tell me to turn the radio down. And that wasn't a fraction near the noise of these engines that have been modified just for the purpose of making noise and annoying people. But I've never seen the police stop any of them in the same way I don't see the police stopping any of these vehicles that just go the wrong way down a one-way street. I have to check both sides all the time. Couldn't care less. So again, is this by design? Do they want people to be hurt by these e-scooter crashes? Well, they're not doing anything about it, are they? So you come to your own conclusions. Number 7. Prime Minister admits cost of living help is not enough and hints at further support. Number 6. Trump confirms he switched planes after NATO summit because of possible threat. Number 5, woman assaulted by a double murderer says nightmare became real life when police let him attack again. So this guy obviously, was he released on bail? You see that a lot. People accused of violent crimes are released on bail. People who say things that certain people don't like are locked up. Number 4, Andy U-turns on early release and hunt on for his clips glasses. That's their What the Papers Say article. Number 3, Cristiano Ronaldo marries long-term partner Georgina Rodriguez. Number 2, UK to get best eclipse since 1999 as moon blocks out sun across Europe. Well, if it's the best since then, it's going to be nothing to write home about, as I said earlier. And number 1, 3 ways to watch the solar eclipse safely without glasses. So people are really buying into this solar eclipse stuff over here in the UK. Let's have a look at the Daily Mail right now, see what's going on over there. Second top story, Andy Burnham is dishing out a vindictive punishment beating to the middle class as he tells all parts of the country to take migrants after more than 3,000 arrive in 22 days. Something similar was floated under the David Cameron government, I remember reading, that rather than have certain centres where migrants would go, they wanted to spread them out all over the country. Almost as if they want them to intermingle them with the entire population, isn't it? But he was Conservative and this guy's Labour, so you'd expect them to do the opposite, wouldn't you? Let's move on to the Independent News. Let's have a look at rents.com, see what's going on over there. Scroll down. Top story, Tucker for President. MAGA rebels declare independence from Israel. The second headline, Trump privately admitted defeat, told top aides he is willing to end Iran war without a nuclear deal if Iran fully reopens the Strait of Hormuz, a huge retreat from his unconditional surrender demand. And then we've got Gulf states ready to accept Iran's control over Hormuz. Let's now go over to HalTurnerRadioShow.com. Let's wait for that to load up. So top story here is oil just jumped 2% and the US Strategic Petroleum Reserve just hit a 43-year low. And this is quite a lengthy article I'm not going to go through, but we've talked about before. You'll have heard it in other places. They've got this oil cushion in America and that's now down to 298 million barrels, which is the lowest level since January 1983. Again, is this going to all come to a head later in the year? We've got no oil. People can't drive around. We've got no food. We're not going to drive the food around because we've had a drought. But something crossed my mind. We've got very short memories in this country. And I remember earlier in the year that it was so bad there were even stories about it in the mainstream media that it was just raining every day. Earlier in the year, just every day, rain. There wasn't one day without rain. It was so annoying. And then suddenly you get non-stop drought. So did all the rain come down to fill up certain things for people who might want to live underground, that sort of thing? And then they parch the earth, for the country for the rest of us. Is that what all the rain was earlier in the year? I have to speculate. Because I've been lied to so consistently by the mainstream media and the government in this country that anything that happens, I have to put a question mark above it as to why. Because I know that I will not hear the truth from official sources. So this is what you've created with all your lies. This is what happens. This is why you're now foaming at the mouth to come after people who expose what you say or speculate on what you say. I mean, when I grew up, there was a story that we were told about the boy who cried wolf. And he would cry wolf, you know, about attacking sheep or something. And the townspeople would go to protect the sheep and there was no wolf. And he did it again and there was no wolf. So when he did it a third time, they were like, ugh, he's just making it up. And this time there was a wolf. Well, that's kind of what they've done. They've lied and lied so often that more and more people, even who've never read a conspiracy theory, have come out and just said, look, you just look at some of the comments that you get on articles in the mainstream media when they're trying to sell you something. Let me just try this one here about the Trump article about the vaccines. Let's see, because I gave you that line in which they're adamant. I'll give you again this line. There is no evidence that the combined MMR vaccine is lethal. Serious side effects are extremely rare, and the risks of the vaccine are vastly outweighed by the risks of the diseases it prevents. And so I'm just scrolling down. 573 comments. Let's click best rated. I'm not sure. Ooh. Let's see what... No, they are largely on board, at least the comments here. The first one, it says, it's based on nothing. He's not a doctor and neither is Kennedy the charlatan. So, yeah, that's out of the US, actually. And that's got 323 upvotes, 159 downvotes. Let's have a look at the worst rated then. This is out of the US as well. Thank God someone is acknowledging that pumping all of these chemicals and additives into our babies cannot possibly be healthy or normal. I'm all for vaccinations that are safe and proven, but the number of shots our kids get now is insane. That's got 65 upvotes and 107 downvotes. So, yeah, not quite what I thought. I thought that we were going to have a lot of people against the vaccine in the top-rated comments, so I've been proven wrong there. So let's move on to earthnewspaper.com. See what's going on over there. I'll just make this comment, actually. Mark R. Elsis of earthnewspaper.com, my friend who runs that over there, he emailed me last week because I was talking about a film called Revolver because I thought that that was the Guy Ritchie film with Vincent Pastore, and I can't stand Guy Ritchie films. It's all this Cockney nonsense with Cockney gangsters and all this sort of stuff. But I thought I might watch the Vincent Pastore scenes when, you know, he's acting in a film based in London. I thought it might be quite fun because I associate him with The Sopranos, stuff like that. And I thought the film might be Revolver, but I might be wrong. Well, it turns out I was right for a change. I did get the film right. It was Revolver. But Mark got in touch because he said you're mentioning Revolver on August the 5th, which was last week's show, which was 60 years after the Beatles album Revolver came out in the UK. So when I mentioned that on last Wednesday's show, that was the 60th year anniversary of its release in the UK. He's got a piece on it, actually, not far down on his website here. He says, a rock and roll masterpiece was released 60 years ago. Revolver released August the 5th, 1966 in the UK and August the 8th, 1966 in the US. Revolver, the Beatles' seventh UK long player, was released on 5th of August 1966 and 3 days later in the United States. It ushered in an era in which the group became increasingly interested in exploring production techniques in the studio. The album was released just before the Beatles' final US tour in August 1966. None of its songs, however, were performed live. The group considered many of the songs too complex and unsuitable for live performance, during a time in which they were often unable to even hear themselves play above the screams of audiences. From the 1, 2, 3, 4 Taxman counting through to the climax of Tomorrow Never Knows, Revolver announced to the world that the Beatles of old were no more. Touring was in the past, the lovable mop tops had grown up, and they were free to explore, experiment, and push musical boundaries from within the studio. Revolver paved the way for the Beatles' extensive experimentation on Strawberry Fields Forever, I Am the Walrus, and Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. It is often considered to be the group's finest body of work and showed all four members of the Beatles working together equally at their creative peak. It's funny because so many people in the mainstream will always say Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is their best album, but actual fans of the Beatles, I've never heard them cite that. As Mark says here, Revolver is regularly cited as their best by the fans. Mark's favourite is Rubber Soul, which was the album that preceded it. I like the White Album, which is also, many people say it's their favourite, but I'm not aware of anyone who's ever said, a real Beatles fan, that has said that Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band is their favourite. Okay, let's go over to the closing part of the show, when we go through the Before It's News top 10. So I'll just wait for that to load up. Okay, here we are. Right, so scroll down. Number 10. I've gone past it. Here we are. Number 10. Went up 3 days ago. 50 people viewing from beforeitsnews.com. 174 Hertz pain relief sleep music based on solfeggio frequencies, black screen video. I'm not sure. So music that can help you sleep by the sounds of it. Well, it's better than any sleeping pills, anything like that. I wouldn't want to take anything like that in case I got addicted to them. Number 9, went up 8 hours ago, 57 people viewing. Folks, this is huge. That's a lot of information there, isn't it, in the headline. Number 8, went up 7 hours ago, 62 people viewing. Sheila Holm, spilling the beans, 8/12/26. Nobody is talking about this. Well, you haven't given us anything to talk about. Number 7, went up 7 hours ago, 67 people viewing. Michael Jaco, Dangerous Intel, 8/12/26. A month we will never forget. You know, it's the 12th of August today, and it's 8:36 a.m. here in the UK. Now, if any of these have come out of America, unless they were recorded in the early hours of the morning, in like, because it's only 12:30 in California at the moment, I can't understand why these would be today's show. It sounds like they're trying to advance the date to make it look current, but I might be wrong. Number 6, well, up 14 hours ago, 69... I'll have another go. Number 6, went up 14 hours ago, 69 people viewing. Ismael Perez, urgent update, 8/11/26, the darkest hour upon us. The amount of times I've had to cough. If you want to cough, stop smoking. That's because I never had to cough like this during shows since I stopped smoking, did I? I did used to cough a lot when I'd light a cigarette, stuff like that, granted. But at least I could do a show in peace. Okay. Number 5, went up 11 hours ago, 81 people viewing. David Nino Rodriguez and Estienon, terrifying warning, 8/11/26. Oh, an honest date. The storm is raging, Patriots. Number 4, went up 3 hours ago, 111 people viewing. Byington bombshell report. World under martial law, seized mainstream media. I could have told you that. Number 3, went up 11 hours ago, 120 people viewing. Josh Reed, end time alert, 8/11/26, the whole damn SH Star T storm. Number 2, went up 9 hours ago, 143 people viewing. Live X22 report, deep state world is crumbling. Trump makes a list of the enemies and hints what the election, and then the headline runs out. And number 1, went up 5 hours ago, 209 people viewing. Judy Byington, Juan O'Savin, and Obama, shocking intel 8/12/26, imminent, EBS, martial law, Obama established a shadow government to sabotage. So there you go. Let's play the closing music. I want to thank all of you for joining me on I'm Talking To You, episode 275, Mark Mopler's 77th birthday. I plan to be back with you with Peter on Tuesday. There'll be Bible readings up till then. So have a wonderful week. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.